Welcome to the Business Report. You're on Nova 103.5. It's time for Ghost Biz, where my name's Gary Strubel, and I speak to the finance ghost about all the things market-related, what's going on all the big markets around us. Ghost, welcome back to the show. As always, lovely to chat to you. Let's start out with an interesting story. Anglo Gold has announced that it wants to buy a gold mine in Egypt. We know that they've been branching out all over the world, but this Egyptian deal seems like a really big deal for Anglo Gold. Tell us more about it.
Hi, Gary, and to all the listeners, I always laugh when I see an acquisition in Egypt. Doesn't happen too often. Vodacom did one, must be a couple of years ago now. And now we've got Anglo Gold as well. I always want to make the dad joke that it's the right sort of pyramid scheme. Anyway, I've gotten away with that dad joke now, so I'll move swiftly along. And yes, Anglo Gold with a pretty big transaction in Egypt. They are looking to acquire Egypt's largest and what they call first modern gold mine. So the holding company is called Centamin. Their flagship asset is the Sukari gold mine in Egypt. That's where all the excitement is. And a deal is never a deal until it's well and truly concluded. But if it does go ahead, then Centamin shareholders will be paid a combination of Anglo Gold shares and cash. Gives them a premium of about 36.5% to the closing price of Centamin shares the other day. It's a pretty normal premium for M&A, so no real concerns or comments there, actually. What is pretty interesting, though, is the sheer size of this transaction. Centamin shareholders will hold 16.4% in the enlarged Anglo Gold group after this transaction. So that's quite a lot of dilution that Anglo Gold shareholders will have to allow here, or stomach at least. And there are a lot of hurdles to overcome before this deal goes through. But on the plus side, they would then be the proud owners of a very high-quality gold mine, which would reduce group costs per unit of gold and will also be free cash flow per share accretive from the very first year. Seems like a pretty good transaction. I'm not a gold expert by any means, but seems to tick a lot of boxes. The premium to the traded price seems reasonable. And now it just needs to get through all of the hurdles.
Now, through most of the year, we've been looking at some pretty flat and dismal numbers, especially in things like DIY, construction, and so forth. But a really interesting set of numbers coming out from WBHO, headline earnings per share from continuing operations jumping up by 18.7%. That is a big number, and also revenue up 16%. That's for the year ended June. Construction often gives us a clue as to where capital is being deployed in an economy. Is this telling us that the South African story is turning?
Isn't it lovely to see a construction group putting decent numbers out in the market, right? How long has it been since we actually got to see that? And those WBHO numbers are fantastic. As you pointed out, HEPS from continuing operations up 18.7%. Share price has run way ahead of that. It's actually up about 85% in the past 12 months, which is really, really great. Nice to see some recovery there, because the construction industry has been through the absolute worst, especially in South Africa. I mean, go and draw a long-term chart of, you know, the construction companies that are still alive. And it's pretty dire, to be honest. But WBHO is doing well at the moment. They've declared a final cash dividend of 230 cents a share. There was no final dividend in the comparable period. So, you know, that's great to see. It shows you how much things have improved. One little caveat is that the order book has decreased slightly year on year from 32.6 billion to 30.6 billion. So that's not ideal. But the share price momentum has honestly just been relentless to the top right-hand corner of the page. It's not often you'll see a share price do that. Go and actually draw a WBHO share price. It's phenomenal. And yes, a lot of that is the South Africa uptick. I must point out WBHO does have some operations outside of South Africa. Their rest of Africa stuff was very marginal in, you know, recent performance. But they've also got businesses in the UK as well, which tend to do fairly well. But yes, the bulk of it is in South Africa, and WBHO is certainly getting that uptick in expected activity here. But we now need to see it come through in the order book. So, you know, share prices do sometimes run ahead of performance, and I would always caution on buying the hype. You know, you kind of got to get in early and actually buy it when no one else wants it. You know, it's almost too late once everyone's talking about it to get those great returns.
Now, similarly, we also look at financial services to get some clue as to what's going on in the market. We've seen some really good numbers from Sanlam, and their share price up 25% over the last 12 months. Old Mutual, however, released half-year trading numbers to June, 6 months of trading, not nearly as good as their peers. What's going on at Old Mutual?
Yeah, it's not great, is it? We've seen some pretty strong stuff out of Sanlam. There was good stuff out of Momentum as well. the financial services businesses have generally speaking been doing well, especially or rather whether they are banking or not. I mean, the non-banking players have been enjoying just an improved sort of risk environment. They've been getting strong returns on the float that they go and invest in the market. You know, high interest rates are generally speaking quite good news for the insurance businesses because they have huge balance sheets that they go and invest out there. But Old Mutual hasn't really seen any of that actually. And they've released a trading statement for the 6 months to June. So at this point, we don't have full details, but we at least have something. And it looks as though the personal finance segment was the issue, especially on the life side. Group overheads, yes, that also seems to have played a bit of a role, unfortunately. And although there was good stuff in some of the other businesses, it looks like those two issues were rather offsetting of those, you know, good news stories within the group. Their preferred metric to look at is adjusted headline earnings, and that will move between minus 2% and 8% for the interim period. So the midpoint is positive at least, but it's nowhere near what we've seen at the likes of Sanlam, certainly. Adjusted headline earnings per share will be up between 2 and 12%. So in all likelihood, a mid-single digit growth performance. In a normal year, that wouldn't look bad. But I think compared to what we've seen elsewhere in the sector, it does look like significant underperformance. And the share price over the past 12 months certainly supports that. Old Mutual, very flat.
Let's break away from results for a second. Because the market that those results operate in, most commonly the JSE, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, has certain rules, and it is run by the stock exchange according to those rules. An interesting story in your fine Ghostmail newsletter had to do with Caxton. Caxton and Impact have interconnected investments, and Caxton's been pretty critical of a number of the things that Impact's been up to over the last 12 months, put out a couple of announcements. Just give us an idea of what just happened with the JSE, giving Caxton a rap on the knuckles.
Yeah, not a great time for Caxton at the moment. They released some pretty rough results. I know it's sort of taking a step away from that, but I think it is worth just mentioning that their results were not fantastic. Although some people in the market seemed okay with them, I looked at them and thought that, you know, in one segment they've got a revenue issue and in the other one they've got a margin issue, and that's not an excellent combination. But on top of all of that, yes, they got a rap over the knuckles from the JSE, and to be honest, I'm not surprised. I remember when this whole Caxton Impact thing was going on, some of the SENS announcements coming out from Caxton were, you know, really a little bit over the top, to be honest. They were filled with all kinds of unfounded allegations. It was almost like an attempt at shareholder activism, but from another listed company about a different listed company. So just a weird kind of approach. And I personally don't enjoy seeing stuff like that. I think it talks to some of the governance maybe at Caxton. You know, when you see stuff like this going out on the markets, I'm not sure it sends an excellent image. And the JSE certainly didn't like it because, as we've now learned, the JSE has censured Caxton and I think sent a message to the marketeer around this. The technical reason for the censure is basically to say that many of the statements Caxton made about Impact were actually just not required. You know, it was borderline an abuse of the SENS system because they're using that system to send out messages that actually don't really have anything to do with Caxton. And the JSE acknowledges that although Caxton has a material stake in Impact, that doesn't mean they had a legal obligation, you know, or the requirement to go and make the statements that they made, especially because they were really just speculative allegations. So, you know, that's not a great look for Caxton, and it's the regulator taking some action. They didn't get a fine, they just got a censure. So it's not exactly the strictest punishment in the world. And the wheels do turn rather slowly in terms of getting these regulatory outcomes. I mean, these announcements were released in 2022. So you're looking at roughly 2 years to actually come out with a censure, which is, you know, not quick.
And then just lastly, Ghost, two other really interesting good news pieces coming from results being announced. The first being Attac, which is exposed to the property sector. The second being Bowler Metcalf, which does rigid plastics, more often used in packaging and transport, as well as some construction applications, both releasing really good sets of numbers. So does this add weight to that perhaps the tide is starting to turn after all in this region?
Yeah, again, like I said on WBHO earlier, isn't it just so nice to see positive news? You know, may it continue, please. That's what we all want to see on the market. And Attac, I'll start there, 19% growth in their full year dividend. You know, for a property fund, that is really, really strong. That's very much what you want to be seen as an investor. Their loan-to-value ratio has also improved considerably from 36.8% to 25.3%. They've been quite busy. They acquired the extra 20% in Mall of Africa. They've been investing in their investment property in that area as well. And on the disposal side, they sold their remaining 6.45% investment in Mass, which is also listed on the JSE and focused in Eastern Europe, but is going through its own little balance sheet issues at the moment. So they got out of that. They're going to focus on the stuff at home. And yeah, share price is up 60% in the past 12 months, which is really good. And I'm happy to see it because I've got quite broad property exposure. It's my biggest exposure in my tax-free savings account here in South Africa because I get the dividends tax-free from the ETFs, the property ETFs. So I like seeing stuff like that. And then Bola Metcalf, one of the really cool stories to come out this week. It's definitely one of the better small caps on the JSE. Yes, they've had a tough couple of years. So, you know, you've got to be careful when you see a 50% increase or rather a 57% increase in HEPS year on year. You know, that is a high number. You've got to wonder if it's just a weak base. So I always go and look when there's a percentage increase like that on what earnings looked like a few years ago. But at their current level of HEPS, they're running even like way above where they were in 2021. So it's not just a year on year story. Revenue's up 10%, return on equity's up to 13.4%. And I think even better, they had a lot of capital expenditure in 2024, and they seem to have a pretty decent pipeline of work into 2025. So Bola Metcalf, not exactly a name that anyone's talking about, but they are well placed for a bit of an improved sentiment around South Africa. You just have to be careful of the liquidity in the stock. It's not super illiquid, but it is a small cap. And so you need to just manage the bid offer spread with caution.
All right, Ghost, thank you. We'll let you get on with your ghosting. That's me, Gary Stripple, talking to the Finance Ghost. We do so every week here on GhostBiz, and we make sure that you are caught up with all the stories and drama and intrigue coming out of the various markets. So we do the work so you don't have to, right here on the Business Report.